Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Kumaras. Text 8. Kim tasya durlabhataram iha loke paratra cha yasya vipraha prasidanti shivo vishnus cha sanugaha. Kim tasya durlabhataram iyaloke paratra cha yasya vipra prasidanti shiva vishnus cha sanugaha. Kim tasya durlabhataram iyaloke paratra cha yasya vipra prasidanti shiva vishnus chasanugaha. Kim tasya durlabhataram iyaloke paratracha yasya vipra prasidanti shiva vishnus chasanugaha. Haloke paratracha savi praprasidanti shiva vishnus cha sanugaha yasya durlabhatara haloke paratracha savi praprasidanti shiva vishnu vishanava kim tasya durlabhataram haloke paratracha savi praprasidanti shiva vishnu vishanava kim tasya durlabhataram yaloke paratracha savita prasidanti shiva vishnu sanava kitasya bhatara Siddhanti Shiva Vishnu Chasanaga Kintasya Durabhata Viparatracha Yasya Viparatracha Siddhanti Shiva Vishnu Chasanaga. Vaishnavis, kintasya durlabhataram iyaloke paratracha yasya vipra prasidanti shiva vishnus cha sanugaha. Kintasya durlabhataram iyaloke paratracha Shilanti.
Vishnu Sasanuya. Kim? What? Tasya? His. Durlabhataram?
Very rare to achieve.
Iha? In this world.
Loke?
World.
Paratra?
After death.
Cha,
or
yasya,
one whose,
vipra,
the brahmanas and Vaishnavas,
prasidanti,
become pleased,
Shiva,
all auspicious,
Vishnu,
Lord Vishnu,
cha,
as well as.
Sa'anugaha,
going along with.
Translation.
Any person upon whom the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are pleased can achieve anything which is very rare to obtain in this world as well as after death. Not only that, but one also receives the favor of the auspicious Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu who accompany the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. Please repeat.
Any person
upon whom the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas
are pleased
can achieve anything
which is very rare to obtain
in this world
as well as after death.
Not only that,
but one also receives
the favor of the auspicious Lord Shiva
and Lord Vishnu,
who accompany the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas.
Purport.
The Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are the bearers of Lord Vishnu, the all auspicious. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 538, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochinena Santasadaiva Hridyesha Vilokiyanti. Yamshama Sundra Machintya Gunasarupam Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. The devotees, out of their extreme love for Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always carry the Lord within their hearts. The Lord is already in the heart of everyone, but the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas actually perceive and see Him always in ecstasy. Therefore, Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are carriers of Vishnu. Wherever they go, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, or the devotees of Lord Vishnu are all carried. Let's see. Wherever they go, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, or the devotees of Lord Vishnu are all carried. The four Kumaras are Brahmanas, and they visited the place of Maharaj Prithu. Naturally, Lord Vishnu and his devotees were also present. Under the circumstances, the conclusion is that when the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas are pleased with a person, Lord Vishnu is also pleased. This is confirmed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and his eight stanzas on the spiritual master. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadaha. By pleasing the spiritual master, who is both Brahmana and Vaishnava, one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased, then one has nothing more to achieve, either in this world or after death. Om Gyanatim Randasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the verse again, any person upon whom the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are pleased can achieve anything which is very rare to obtain in this world as well as after death. Not only that, but one also receives the favor of the auspicious Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu, who accompany the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. So this goes against the whole tendency of the modern world, in which people like to think they're totally independent, that everything just depends on their own ability. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the self-made man or the self-made woman. There's a lot of propaganda. You know, don't follow leaders, make your own way. However, the real fact is, Ekalishvara Krishna Arasabha Britya, there's only one personality in all of existence who is completely independent, Swarat, and that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, and of course, his expansions, you know, his different incarnations, like Lord Ram. But even them, they're all subordinate to Lord Krishna. Krishna is the original source of all the incarnations. So, only one person is completely independent, or really, you could say, self-made. Natasya karyam karnam cha vidyate. Natasya karyam karnam cha vidyate. So, kara means activities. So there's nobody that can, you know, dictate to Krishna, you know, you must do this or that in order to get some good result. But for us, you know, we do have to please some superior in order to get any good result. Or to avoid, you know, some bad result. And actually we can see that the world is structured something like this, that in order to obtain, you know, some good result, one has to satisfy some authority, and to avoid some bad result, one has to avoid displeasing, you know, some authority. So although people like to proclaim themselves, you know, independent and free thinkers and all this and that and the other, at every moment, you know, if you analyze their lives, you can see they're, you know, surrendering to some authority. You're bound to do that. You know, it's just the way the world is set up. You know, like you want to go visit some foreign country, well, then you have to have some passport. And how do you get a passport? You have to go to some official in your country and present, you know, your proof of birth and so many other things and pay some fee, and then you get, you know, a passport. Then even that's not enough to go to some countries. You have to have a visa. Then you have to go through another whole process of, you know, applying for, you know, some visa. You submit all kinds of documentation. And if you don't do that, then you don't get, you know, your visa. And you're not allowed to legally, you know, enter a country or stay in it. And then even if you do sneak in somehow, you know, there's, if you're caught, then, you know, you can be put out of the country. And then to get there, you have to buy some airline ticket. And then you go to the airport and you have to show your ticket. You have to show your identification. Then there's security to go through. So actually the whole world is set up like that. You know, if one wants some position, you know, if you want to go to university, well, then you have to apply, you know, to the authorities of the university. You have to submit your grades from high school and your test scores and all your letters of recommendation and your
and your extracurricular activities that you were president of the chess club and a tennis champion or whatever you were. And then hopefully then the committee, the admissions committee will say, oh yes, we want this person, you know, in our school. And then if you go to the school, then you have to sit there for so many exams and grades and, you know, to get a degree. And then what? Then one has to get some job. And again, what does one have to do? One has to submit to some authority. You know, go to them, say, yes, this is my qualification. You know, this is what I want to do. And then, so at every moment, you know, people are, you know, submitting to some authority. They want to get married. Well, then you have to go somewhere. You have to file some application, pay some fee, take some blood test. So for all of us to get on in this world, although we like to think we're very independent and free thinkers and self-made men, self-made women, the actual fact is that every moment we're serving someone, either in some official or unofficial capacity, because that's our real position, jivara srupahoya krishnara nityadas. We're, by constitution, servants. And then the only question is, who are we going to serve, and what is the result of that service going to be? So, if we serve Krishna's representatives, then we get one result. We get knowledge of our real position. And at the end of this life, you know, we go back home, back to Godhead. We enter into Krishna's Nitya Lila. Whereas if we serve, you know, these other personalities in this world, we never become happy. We never get real knowledge. We never become secure in our existence. So by serving the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas and trying to please them instead of trying to please so many other people in this world, we actually get the best kind of result. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who says, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati katopi. Especially one should try to please Krishna's representative, you know, the bona fide spiritual master. Because in that way, one pleases Krishna. And we may not have direct access to Krishna. And actually, Krishna arranges it like that. He arranges it like that because he understands that ultimately we need to learn how to live in a society of devotees. Tandura trana seva bhakti sannivas. You know, we serve the spiritual master in the society of devotees. So that's always important because we're always going to be in a society of devotees. We're being trained at the present moment to live in a society of devotees because that's what the spiritual world is like. It's not that there's just going to be me and Krishna there. There's going to be other devotees. And we have to get used to that, you know, living in a society of devotees. That's the big austerity. And because it's not going to change in the spiritual world. If you go there, you become a gopi, you're going to be part of a group of gopis, and there's going to be a leader gopi, and leaders in training, you know, Rupa Goswami says in his book Ujjvala Nilanamini. He has to be leaders, followers, special groups, orders. You know, it's not going to be a free-for-all in the spiritual world either. So learning how to live in the society of Krishna's devotees is very important. And then, because Krishna says, he who says he's my devotee is not really my devotee. But those who say they are the devotees of my devotees, then Krishna says, they are my real devotees. And Lord Chaitanya said, Gopi Bhartra Padakamalayor Das Das Anudas. You know, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of you know, the gopis, of Krishna's eternal associates. So, if the devotees of the Lord are pleased with one, then Krishna becomes pleased. Just like Radharani, you know, she recommends a devotee to Krishna, then Krishna accepts. And so we may not be directly able to approach Krishna because Krishna's arranged it like that. That first we have to approach his representative, his devotees. And Krishna gives us that opportunity. Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. That we're wandering through so many bodies and so many universes, and we cannot calculate how fortunate we are, you know, to have, in the midst of all those wanderings, you know, come in contact with, you know, pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, you know, who's created, deliberately created a society of devotees. Because, you know, people have different interests. But we see that when people have a common interest, they join together. You know, like there's so many societies of singers and film stars and business associations, police associations, military associations. We see there's so many associations. You look in a phone book, you see a list of hundreds, thousands of associations. So why are these associations there? Because in association with other like-minded personalities, the opportunity to do what it is you're trying to do increase. And it's also easier to involve other people in that association. You know, if there's some systematic arrangement to do that. Of course, the purpose of the association is to advance individually in Krishna consciousness, because each devotee of the Lord has his own personal relationship with Krishna, but there's also a society of devotees. So, yeah, so some balance is there, you know, between, you know, one's individual cultivation of Krishna consciousness and living in a society of devotees and serving Krishna, you know, collectively in a society of devotees. So, yeah, so some balance has to be there. You know, if you go too much in the direction of individualism, then there's no society of devotees. You know, it's just everybody doing their own thing, and that's not very pleasing to Krishna. You know, in the spiritual world, the devotees are cooperating to serve Krishna. They're cooperating, you know, to make so many nice arrangements for, you know, the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. And if you go too far the other direction, you know, just making everything very, very institutional, then, you know, the individual development suffers. So it's kind of a, you know, like a balancing act. How to have a society of devotees which encourages the individual advancement, spiritual advancement the members. So Srila Prabhupada has given us that, and we just have to, you know, maintain it. So, yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati katopi. By pleasing, you know, the brahmanas, the Vaishnavas, the spiritual masters, Krishna becomes pleased. It's like Srila Prabhupada was often give the example that, you know, if you go to work in some office as a clerk, you know, you have your immediate supervisor, and you satisfy, you know, by doing your service and you satisfy the supervisor, then your promotion, your advancement, your increase in salary, all that will come because the supervisor will report to the head of the office and everything will happen. And if you displease your supervisor, then it's not very good. Srila Prabhupada gave the example I was reading last night when he was a young man. He was working as a manager in some chemical company. And he said one of his... So he was managing different people. And he said one of the people that was working under him kind of wouldn't listen to what he had to say. So he went to the boss of the corporation, and he came and he told this person, well, you have to leave. Now, Srila Prabhupada said he was very sorry that that happened. He didn't, you know, he was kind of sorry that that happened. But he said the point is there that in order to make advancement in spiritual life, you know, we do have to please Krishna's representatives somehow or other. Of course, Krishna's representatives have to be bona fide representatives. I mean, this comes up a lot. There are different ethical and moral questions that come up in this world, like sometimes like soldiers. Soldiers in an army, they have to obey their officers. That's the way it's set up, and it's very strict. But at the same time, like I remember when I joined the Navy, you know, the United States Navy, part of the military. So you're trained, yes, you have to salute, you know, to the superiors and follow their orders. But we were also instructed, if someone gives you an unlawful order, it's your duty not to follow it. Yeah, huh? Only as an officer. Okay. So, right. Only as an officer. Okay. Is that right? No, I think we were also told. I was enlisted, they told us. You know. Okay, maybe they changed it. But let's say you're an officer then, just for the sake of the argument. Then, you know, if someone is, you know, not, at least if you're enlisted, then at least you should report it to some officer then, something. Yeah, you may not have, but you're supposed to do something. So you could say that. So there's some balance there. In other words, not that. And it's, you know, stated in Shastra, you know, what the qualifications of a spiritual master are. It said that if someone becomes unqualified, then you're not obliged to follow them anymore. But under the normal circumstances, I mean, we can't base our life on the abnormal circumstance. But in the normal circumstance, we have to satisfy Krishna's representatives. And that way, Krishna actually becomes pleased. So, I'll stop there. Does anybody have any comments, questions? Bhrigupati.
do a particular service. And in general, they have respect for that authority. You know, they think that person's a good devotee, et cetera, et cetera. And, but they don't feel that that service is the service in which they don't want to do that service. They're not happy to do that service. And they also feel that that's really not the service they can make the most advancement by doing. So, should they feel that, well, is it philosophically correct for them to think that, no, but this is the service that my authority wants me to do, therefore by doing this service, I'm going to make, I must be wrong, I am going to make the most advancement. I am going to please Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya and Krishna the most by just following what this person has to say, despite what, whether I like it or don't like it, or despite what I think in terms of, you know, what's going to help me make the most advancement. Is that the correct understanding always? You know, if that person just locks into that, is he correct in thinking like that?
This goes back to the ultimate question. You know, are we the same as Krishna, Swarat, which means we can do anything and everything we want? Yeah. In other words, are we intelligent enough to figure out what it is that Krishna expects of us? I mean, are we that kind of entity, or are we ultimately servants who depend upon higher instruction to learn what it is, you know, we should be doing to please Krishna? So, ultimately, I mean, I would say, ultimately, we are in the position that we need to accept guidance from others. Now, understanding that doesn't mean there's no room for negotiation. But there's, you know, a system. Just like I said, even in the spiritual world, there are, you know, if you're part of a group of cowherd boys, you'll be, there'll be a leader, a sub-leader. You know, there's always going to be some need to take, you know, higher direction. You know, like, you know, you're some gopi, and the leader of your gopi group will say, well, I want you to take this garland to Radharani now. You know, so if you decide, well, I want to do something else, maybe you'll find yourself here in the material world to do whatever it is you want to do if you think you're completely independent. But, I mean, as far as this question of service goes, I think it's something that if somebody has a feeling, I think they have a right to negotiate, to consult with their spiritual master, with their authorities, with the GBC, with the whole GBC if they want to go that far. But ultimately, the buck has to stop somewhere. Either, you know, because ultimately, we are in a society of devotees, and ultimately we do need to accept, you know, some authority, you know, in the way that Srila Prabhupada has set up, you know, the authority system in this movement. And if we think there is no authority that I will accept or trust, then you have to think, well, what am I doing here? You know, if you really think you are the ultimate authority and that there's no one who can advise or give instruction to you, then why go through the charade? Go out and start something, you know. If you think you're the ultimate authority on what's best, you know, then go ahead. But it's complicated. It's not, but I would say yes, you have a right. You know, if you're to talk confidentially with other devotees, to your authorities. If you don't agree with the authority's decision, there's a next higher authority. There's now they have these, what's it called, ISKCON resolve or something. You know, like
conflict resolution. I mean, there's so many, you know, ways. But ultimately, because it's our nature that we're not Swarat independent, ultimately, you know, we're going to have to accept some decision, you know, from, or if we think nobody's competent, don't have faith in, well, then just go out and live your own life, you know, as you see fit. You know, it's like that's always an option, but it's not. So I would say ultimately we do have to accept some authority. But I don't think there's. I think if devotees are feeling unsatisfied, then they should express themselves and. But realize that at some point, we have to understand we are servants. We are das das anu das, and our advancement does depend on.
This thing's
satisfaction
too high.
Of others. Okay, Swadas.
Oh yeah, I thank you very much for a wonderful class and great answer. I just wanted to chime in that on Brigapati's point was that. It seems like it really comes down to a lot of cooperation. You know, I mean, like if you're really working in a temple, it seems that you really have to have a sense of cooperative nature. And if there's not a sense of cooperative, on both ends, not just the devotee, but even the authority, there should be a sense of cooperation. And, you know, being on the side of being a temple president, I think a lot of times if a temple president has a chance to explain to somebody the necessity of something, and if the devotee can understand that, they'll try to do that particular service in a cooperative mood. And it seems like if that's not there on both sides, there's a lot of difficulties that occur from that, or misunderstandings. And it appears that a lot of times that is being exhibited on both sides, not only just the devotees, you know, that are in the rank and file, so to speak, in the temple, but even on the authority basis.
Yes.
So it's just like if you're dealing with a family member, if there's no cooperation within that structure, how can that exist? How can it even go on?
Yeah, so this is part of the Society of Devotees.
Your class was kind of in the context of, or at least these last few minutes in the context of.
Am I changing the topic?
Let him go ahead. We can return to the topic if it's okay.
Yeah, it's more in the context of service in ISKCON. Whereas I believe the context of the verse is serving the brahmanas or the devotees. And a lot of times when we read the Bhagavatam, the king will be there and Narada Muni or Devasa Muni will pass through and they will offer some service to him. Mm-hmm. So my question is about the verse and serving the Vaishnavas or brahmanas and trying to get the favor of the brahmanas or the Vaishnavas. Obviously, one way to serve a Vaishnava is to be his servant and serve him in his service to Krishna, which then you're ultimately engaging in the service of Krishna. Because the verse said something about the Brahmana carries Vishnu and Shiva. But then it talks about by doing that service, you get the benediction of being able to achieve anything. So let's say there's a golfer or something sitting first class, and Indrajitna Swami is on the same plane, and he buys some books. Does that mean he can beat Tiger Woods in the Masters or something like that, or is that not what the verse is saying?
Well, again, you know, we're I mean, there's this verse in the Bhagavatam, but it's part of the whole, you know, Bhagavatam, which is, you know, we've received through, you know, the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, through Lord Chaitanya and everything like that. So we take things in the context of the whole Sampradaya and its teachings. So it is true that by, you know, pleasing, and of course what it takes to please, you know, a Brahmin or a Vaishnava can be, you know, it may not just be some simple little thing. But yes, there's a lot of power to that. Because you see, even like demons, they will satisfy, you know, Brahma, for example, who's a Vaishnava, like Hiranyakashipu, and he got tremendous power. I'm sure he could have taken on Tiger Woods. You know, if that's what he wanted to do, you know, like, so I would say, yeah, you know, if there's a golfer that wants to beat Tiger Woods, then, you know, the most effective thing he could do would be start performing austerities and trying to satisfy Lord Brahma or whatever. He'd probably get the ability to make every shot a hole in one, you know, just have a score of 18. That's certainly possible. Now, what kind of service it takes to get that particular result, you know, you kind of see what Hiranyakashipu did. You know. So, yeah, I think the answer to your question is, yeah, you could get, you know, by satisfying a Brahmin or even Lord Brahma himself, you know, the chief Brahmana, yeah, you can get tremendous results. Just like even the demons, by satisfying their guru, Shukracharya, got the ability to conquer the universe. So yes, that power is there. I mean, just more generally, as you say. But as Vaishnavas, we learn, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavidam vaja, gadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmani shvare, bhagavad bhaktir hoi tiki tvayi. You know, we don't approach the Brahman, the Vaishnava, the spiritual master to get a hole in one. Although, you know, it's kind of a neat mystic power, you know, to be able to do that. Who knows what Tiger Woods did in his past life, you know, to get that ability. But we pray for devotional service. You had to become the servant of the Vaishnavas. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.